So, Father, we give you this time, Lord, and we come before you, Father, this afternoon to just worship and glorify you, just to give you thanks for who you are, Lord, and how you always just watch out for us, Lord. So we thank you, Father, for your providence. We thank you, Father, how you take care of us, Father, in spite of trials and tribulations. But we just still want to give you the glory, Father. Thank you for your will, and your will be done. But we come before you this afternoon just to worship and glorify you, Lord, and just be a part as brothers and sisters in Christ before you. So, Lord, we give this afternoon to you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this time we do have a guest speaker. We're really not a guest. He's a brother now. Joe Sclafani. I don't know if everybody knows who Joe Sclafani is, but he manages and directs City Light Ministries in downtown Reading. We've supported him ever since we were birthed the church.
Yes.
So we haven't stopped, but hope he has some wonderful updates to give us and encouragement and just pour out his heart.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Dave. All right. Very good. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you today. I love church. I love everything about church. I even love it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I love church. There's going to be a problem though, because this throws my after church nap off. You know, I mean, because are there any naps ever sweeter than after church? Is there any meal that tastes any better than that Sunday afternoon meal? I don't miss many meals. I think you know that. But I love worshiping with old friends. I love meeting new people. I love going to different churches. I love learning new songs. I love singing the old ones. I just love church. It's good to be with you here today. I am typically here with my wife, Trish. She is not able to be here. She is having a reunion with her ministry, but she asked me to give a plug for Deeper Still Ministry. Deeper Still Ministry is a ministry that she is a executive director of the East Pennsylvania branch. It deals with those that have an abortion wounded heart. Our statistics tell us that 40% of people that are in a church had an abortion or were a part in an abortion. That goes for both men and women. You know, we sometimes forget men are in that equation as well. And Trish suffered. She had, before she was 21 years old, she had 3 abortions. And not soon after the third abortion, she came to Christ. And she knew God forgave her. And she knew she was a Christian, but she couldn't forgive herself. And she knew she was a Christian, but maybe a second-class Christian. And she dealt with that pain for 30 years. And she went to visit a French church, and somebody stood up and talked about Deeper Still. And she said, that's what I need. And she went to a retreat, and it really absolutely changed her life. And she works tirelessly with that ministry. The main function of the ministry are 2 retreats that they give. It's for both men and women. They give them two retreats, a spring and a fall. The September one coming up is September 24th, 5th, and 26th. And that is in Lebanon, Mount Gretna. I forget, Gretna Retreat House. I don't know what it is. So I'll leave information on your back table. There's a brochure that you can, and a card, if that is helpful for you. Maybe you, maybe someone you know. Praise the Lord. Also want to talk a little bit about our ministry because I'm noticing new faces. So, you know, Pastor Fred is one of my dearest friends. And you are right. You guys have been with us from your inception. And we thank you. We thank you so very much for your support. It's always just so great when we get that support check in, and it's because you You know, the support, the actual monetary figure is wonderful and great and helpful. But the fact that you believe in our mission and what we do, we thank you for that. That comes with a lot of encouragement, and we're so thankful. I remember Pastor Fred when he was a much younger man. I hope he's not watching on Zoom. Hi, Fred. And he would come, and he has done so much work for our ministry when he was back in his old Fred the Friendly Carpenter days. And like, he's done so much work for free for us. And in days when we couldn't put two pennies together, he would come in and do so much work for free. And then when the church began, they immediately began to support us, and that's awesome. So City Light Ministry is an urban mission outreach in the city of Reading. We were founded in 1992, and we have two outreach ministry centers. The one is a homeless outreach where we do a breakfast ministry for homeless folks. We do it 365 days a year. We have not missed a morning in 12 years. All glory to God. Every day, as if manna from heaven, God sends us food, and we feed the homeless. We offer them showers. There is a place where they can get get their mail. Showers, mail, they get a gospel message every day. Certainly they can get clothes and different things. But more than anything, it's a place that they call home. We target unsheltered homeless. So these are most people that are living in abandoned buildings. They're living in the woods. They're living on the streets. And we do this breakfast at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's from 6 to 8. And people think, it's pretty early. But when you're unsheltered and you're living in the woods, believe me, when we show up at 6 o'clock, they're waiting. So God has been so good to us in supplying us for every need there. And then we have another building across town that we do children and youth ministry. And our mechanism for reaching kids is an after-school program that we do the whole school year, and summer camp, which we're in the middle of right now, which is a 6-week day camp. So that's how we reach kids in the inner city, through that. And that building is strategically right near the elementary school and right near the middle school. So kids seemingly just fall into the building. Now, COVID gave us an awful challenge this year. We just really couldn't get any traction with the after school. Even with the camp this year, it's lower attended, but that's going to build. That's okay. But anyway, we were able to do some tutoring with kids because, all of these students that are in school, Reading was 100% virtual until about the last month of the year. And I don't even know why they went, to face-to-face then. And even in the school, when it went back to normal face-to-face, or whatever the word is, only a fraction of the kids would even show up. So these kids are so behind in their work. So we started a tutoring program, and kids would come in, and they're like 100 assignments behind. I mean, like it was just unbelievable. And all we would do is they would open up their Chromebook and we would stand behind them and help them. And that was really, really rewarding. So anyway, we're hoping that everything gets back to normal, because we did close up for COVID. The parents are so cautious and so scared with COVID. And I understand that. So, we're hoping that September brings us to a new place where, we never stop ministering, but we'd like to see more kids. We never close with the breakfast ministry for the homeless. And, this might sound a little weird to you, but I asked God, I prayed this prayer that I would be a vaccine, that anybody that I looked at in that building would not get COVID. And none of our homeless people got COVID, not one. So you're saying, Joe, how do you know? Listen, let me tell you about the homeless community. and I say this with all the greatest love, they're fueled by gossip and rumor. If one of them got it, we would all know. You would know. And not one did. Not one did. Praise the Lord. And to be a little weirder, honestly, I'm the only one who got it. So I think after that, I sent out some antibodies or whatever, but praise the Lord. God was good. We just didn't know what to do. When it first hit, we said, well, when it first hit, you couldn't get masks. Remember that? I mean, you couldn't get them. So we were like bringing people in and kind of distancing them. And then when you could get masks, we were like, well, they come in. First thing they do is drink coffee, take it off. They sit down and eat a snack, take it off. They sit down and eat breakfast, take it off. It was like, wow. I mean, you know, their masks are off the whole time. So, you know, God has been really, really good. And they were so blessed that we were open. So, but City Light, we are an urban mission outreach. We are not a church. Man, the thought of church to me scares me to death. Pastor Bell, thank you very much for what you do. But I am not a pastor. I don't know what I am. I think I'm an evangelist, maybe. I think I'm a missionary, probably. I do some pastoring, but not a church. I'm just one of those guys that does whatever you got to do. So, but I want to thank you. Thank you so very much for your support of the ministry. And I'm blown away. Like God is so good to us. I mean, we started in 1992 and I didn't know that we would be there for 3 weeks, let alone, you know, 30 years almost. And we, God has provided, he's always provided. And for 11 years, I was a tent maker, working a full-time job and running the ministry. And then we took a step of faith and stepped out and believed God for me to go full time, and I have not missed a paycheck. And it just doesn't make sense. Dave, you've seen it doing the finances of your church. It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. It's kingdom math. Somehow it happens. Somehow it gets paid. Somehow it works. And thank you. The way it works is thank you for being God's hands extended. I can't tell you how many times that it was a little tight, and then that support check from Calvary Chapel, Holy Valley came in, and we were all right. So thank you, God bless you, and I think I'd like to speak the word a little bit, if you don't mind. Here we go, praise God. Have you ever found yourself in a place that you would never be? Now, I'm not talking about before you got saved because you were always in a place that you weren't supposed to be, right? I'm talking about as a believer, as a Christian, did you ever find yourself in a place that you never thought you would be? Now, I'm not going to have you come up front. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. So you just think this within yourself. Maybe you found yourself on a bar stool and you never thought you'd go back there. Maybe you found yourself gambling in a casino and you never thought you would be doing that. Maybe you found yourself in an abortion clinic or a strip club or viewing pornography. Maybe you found yourself in an affair. How about smoking marijuana or using some sort of drug or falling back into some behavior of your past? Did you ever think you would find yourself to be a victim of divorce? Did you ever think you'd find yourself in the hospital, sick, unemployed, or sitting by a wayward child in the middle of the night? If we're really honest with ourselves, we have found ourselves in a place where we knew we shouldn't be. And it's a long way and a hard way to get back. David found himself in such a way. We're going to be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'll be reading from the New King James. I typically read from the NIV, but I know that you guys are very astute and very, what does Pastor Bell, you use NIV? Okay. But anyway, I'll be reading from the New King James today. And we're going to go from 1 Samuel chapter 30, but we'll back up to 29. And we'll talk about David found himself in the craziest place he could have ever imagined. There had to be moments in time when he said, "How could I be here?" He finds himself in the land of the Philistines. And I didn't think of that. What is the country of the Philistines? Is it Philistine? I had to research that. Does anybody know? I'm asking. Okay. So I'm going to say the country of the Philistines because I didn't even research that with everything I researched. He finds himself there for over a year in the country where the Philistines live. Saul is coming after him and wants to kill him because he's a threat to the throne, of course. And he is on the run. And of all places, he finds himself there in Philistine, with the Philistines, because he thought that was a safe place where Saul would be afraid to chase after him. He had his mighty men with him. He had over 400 men. And he was there for over a year hiding out. And we don't know how long Saul was chasing after David. We can't quite, the scripture doesn't really tell us. But, you know, it's between 10 and 15 years, we feel as though, would be accurate to figure it out. And he's there, and it must have been strange for him. This, as a young boy, he would go before Goliath. And who is this unclean Philistine that dares to defy the army of God? And we know the story of how he took down the giant. But now he's living with them. And now it gets even weirder. He wants to join in the fight with the Philistines against the Israelites. You got to think, how did he get here? This is only about 10 years after Goliath. How did he sink so low? And we see David as a very wounded and hurting man. I mean, there was a lot of things. He is the man after God's own heart, no doubt about it. And he had an in with God. But boy, was he a broken man. He was a tragic figure in many, many ways. And this issue is going on now, even before the whole Bathsheba carrying on and Absalom and all these things. How did he sink so low? And he goes even lower. The fact that they didn't want him. He offered his services and his 400 men to go out with the armies of the Philistines, and they said, "We don't want you." And they're heading home, rejected. How did he find himself in such a place? How do we find ourselves in places where we swore we would never go? Chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. So here they are leaving where they were, and they're going to their home base. They're going back home to Ziklag. And from a distance, they can see smoke wafting up. Oh, it's too much smoke to just be them cooking something. No. They knew that this was major. So they began to travel this three days, 75 miles, 3 days. I mean, they are hoofing it. And they had burned the city. They had taken captive, verse 2, the women and those that were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. When David and the people were with him, lifted up their voices, and they wept until they had no power to weep. Have you ever been in that place? When you have cried yourself out of tears. You've cried yourself until you couldn't cry no more. I had an experience where you just cry and cry and weep, and you can imagine their heartache. They don't know where their kids are. They don't know where their wives are. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Wow. Not only is he dealing with, where's my kids? Where's my wives? That's another story. But these people now, these friends of mine, my mighty warriors, want to kill me. Why would they want to? Because they knew they were out of God's will. They knew they had no business being where they were and what they were doing. I don't know what they were. I think they were mercenaries just looking for a fight. I don't know what they were doing. And here they turn on David and they want to kill him. Because the soul of the people had been grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. What could David think now? Could there be more heaped on him? And we find that, don't we? When we're in a bad way with our, in our relationship with Christ, and we just turn and step aside. You don't totally backslide, but you're just not going to do it anymore. You're mad at God. You just are disappointed. You don't know how it's going. I didn't sign up for this. Isn't it in those times things just keen to compound and get worse and worse and worse? David's experiencing this right now. But, we all got one of them. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. He pulled himself together and he knew, to get out of this mess, I need the Lord. And I need to tap into that strength that I always had when I was serving him, when I was walking in his will and I was walking in his ways. And he began to minister to himself through God's Holy Spirit working through him. He began to strengthen himself in the Lord. I'm a big fan of community. I am so glad to see people back in church. I am so thankful for technology that brings us to Zoom and to Facebook and has been able to reach us over the years. I'm so thankful that people still have that option and are taking advantage of that option. I'm looking forward to the day that we're all back in church physically. I'm looking for the day where we are in community once again. Because Zoom and online stuff, yeah, it's community. And yeah, we can pick up a phone and we can talk and we can pray. And we found all kinds of creative ways to minister over this past year. But there's something different about being in the house of God. There's something different about being able to touch someone when you pray for them. To put an arm around someone, to hug someone, to dry somebody's tears. But David saw here, there is that time when we have to strengthen ourselves in God. When we get alone with him. There's those times. And what is that time that you get alone with him? What is that time where you say, I am strengthening myself in the Lord? Not with my wife, not with my family, not with my kids, not with my church, not with my friends. But there's that time when you have that one-on-one with him. Reading your Bible, praying, talking to him, pouring out your heart to him. And David got to this point where he strengthened himself in the Lord. Verse 7, then David said to priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring me my ephod here to me. And he brought the ephod to David. His priestly vesture. That which made him who he was. And we need to put on our ephod, don't we? When we're going in through a difficult time and we've strengthened ourselves in the Lord, we put on our priestly vessels and vestures and we step up and we put him on and we invite him back in and we do what we need to do in God. And then he began to pray, and I'm sure he began to pray like he never prayed before. So David, verse 8, inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail. You'll recover all. David asked God first. You know, do we really include God in all of our decisions? I remember Trish and I went through a horrible financial situation. We put an addition on our house, right? You know, we did the math. We figured out we could work it out, this and that. We remortgaged the house so we could put this addition on. We decide we're either moving or we're going to live here forever. So we put the addition on the house. It was one mess after another. And this addition, this is several years ago. It probably turned out to be like $30,000, right? But, you know, again, this is where you live and you're refinancing and all that stuff. And you're bringing in another mortgage and all that. And it was one mess after another, after another, after another. And we're wondering, why is this going so rough? Why am I getting stood up from this contractor? And why is this more than it was supposed to be? And why isn't this working out? And why are they so far behind? And why does it rain every day? And the Lord moved on my heart. Do you know that we made a commitment for $30,000 out of our finances and we never prayed once? Man of God, woman of God, didn't pray. And we find ourselves in that situation if we're honest, because we think that's just dollars and cents. God isn't concerned about those things. But if we had just prayed, and David is here saying, Lord, what should I do? Can I overtake them? Will I be able to beat them? Will I be able to catch them? Is it worth my trouble? What if we ask those questions in our day-to-day lives? Can we do it? Should we do it? What should we do? I understand. Now, don't get crazy. Don't ask God if you should wear the green shirt or the blue shirt. I mean, he trusts you to some of that stuff. But maybe we can be more aware of decisions we make and direction that he wants to lead us in for guidance and for wisdom. I see some young people in those back pews. Take that to heart. Ask God. Believe him. Look for his wisdom and his guidance and his direction. And a telltale sign that David was back on track was he comforted himself in the Lord, strengthened himself in the Lord, and he inquired of the Lord. And God said, you'll recover it all. Praise God. There's a song that I love. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. I take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today. We shall recover it all. Maybe you're in a situation where some stuff's been stolen from you. Some stuff's been stolen from me and Trish. We got three wayward boys, boys that aren't serving the Lord currently. And we're believing God that they're going to come back. And we know that they will. It's just when. What has God, what has the devil stolen from you? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your peace. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's fill in the blank. David was there. And those men trying to, wanting to kill him, wanting to stone him. He said, whatever. I'm going to go get my stuff. I'm going in. Whether you're coming or not, he didn't even invite them. He said, I'm going in. And sure, they all followed. And guess what? So David went, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook of Beshur, where they stayed, who were left behind. 400 went, 200 were left behind. But David pursued and with the 400 men, for 200 of them stayed behind, for they were so weak that they could not cross the brook. And that's church. Some of you are in a good place where you're strong and you're living for him and you're confident and you can pick up the slack and you can minister to others. And some are going through a tough time. You're just weak and you're weary and you're beat down. And you're going to stay back from the battle. But there's those that are going to go forward. And we're all part of one church, right? One's victorious, we're all victorious. One hurts, we all hurt. 400 went, 200 weary stayed behind. And as they were going, they found in an Egyptian field, then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate and they gave him some water. We're going to skip down. They found along the way this Egyptian slave boy. Now they're trying to find their stuff. And God put someone in their path. The least likely person, an Egyptian slave. He said, where can we find these people that got our stuff? Where can we find these people that stole our family, that took our family? And it's an Egyptian slave. Said, I'll tell you where they are. God puts people in our path for a reason. The body of Christ, a joint supply, where one's weak, one's strong, one steps in for the other. One knows something that you don't. That's the body of Christ. And David attacked them. So finally, he told them where to go, down to 17. When David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. To get your stuff back is going to take some effort. God is not in the business of waving a magic wand and making everything right. He requires something of us. He tells us, do your best, I'll do the rest. He'll take care of what you can't take care of. and not a man escaped, except the 400 that rode off and fled. So David recovered all of the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered it all. It was all still there. None of their children were gone. None of their wives were gone. All of their belongings were recovered, both large and small. I like large and small. I like a God that cares about the little stuff and the big stuff. Praise God. It was great to recover their family, but how about some of their little trinkets? Even God thinks about those things. Hallelujah. Verse 20, then David took all the flocks and the herds, and they had driven before them our livestock, and said, this is David's spoil. Guess what happened? They ended up with more than what they went into. God always gives you more. You ever notice that? God always gives you more. So it was all there. It was all there. And guess what? Think about it. What has God taken from you? What has he stolen from you? What? My gosh, I got to back up. What has the devil stolen from you? What has been taken from you? Still there. You just got to go get it. It may look different, may be different, but it's still there. And God challenges you. God challenges you. It's still there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can recover it all. We thank you. We thank you that your timing is perfect. In a room this big with so many people, it's obvious to me that there are some painful situations we're going through. Things that we never thought it would ever be like this. We lost some things. We're finding ourselves in places we shouldn't be. And but I'm asking you, oh Heavenly Father, that you would give us the strength that we need. The strength that we need to get alone with you. The strength that we need to strengthen ourselves in you. And to begin to believe you again. To begin to believe you for loved ones, for health, for finances, for sickness, for mental health, for our children, our grandchildren. I just feel the Holy Spirit so strong, just resting over this place. Can we just take a moment in quiet and just think? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you coming forward or raising your hand or telling us anything. What's been taken from you? And what do you want back? Holy Spirit, will you reveal to us those things? Would you speak to our hearts with that still small voice? Hallelujah. Just give it 15 more seconds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. I take back what the devil has stole from me, and I rejoice. Today, we shall recover it all. First part of that song is just one word. Will you sing it with me? Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Let's do that again. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Sing it again. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. We're reaping the harvest God promised me. I take back what the devil has stole from me, and I rejoice. Today, we shall recover it all. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen.
Amen. So why don't we just end it there as our song of closing? I didn't expect you to close us like that, but no, thank you.
And I apologize.
No apology needed, but just thank you. And it's great. You always bring that, how would you say, you know, that God is alive, God is there. What he does for City Light and the ministry that you bring and the encouragement you give us, it's like, you know, he is good. God is good. So let's close in prayer and give him thanks. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Father, we just pray for the thanksgiving that you give in our hearts, Father, that you are faithful and you are all-knowing, Father, and you'll never leave your children astray. But Lord, as our hearts are just focused on the challenge that we have gotten, Father, we just pray, Father, for those things in our lives that we need to cut out, Father, those things that need attending to, Lord. We pray, Father, for victory over it, Lord. And we also just pray, Father, just the grieving hearts of prodigals in our lives, yes, family members yes. that do not know you, Lord.
Yes,
Father, we just pray, Father, that we would be vessels, Lord, not of judgment, of wrath, Lord, but of love, but of concern, Father, and knowing, Father, the victory that we have in Christ that Jesus, we just want to share with you, so with others as well, Lord. So thank you, Father, for this time, and we give it all to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.